today on Real Radio.
God is all wise. You may be in a situation where, well, Pastor, I just don't see the answer so clearly in the Bible. Get counseling and listen, the answer is there. You may need to be walked to the answer.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David J., thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called How to Have the Peace of God When, Part 2C continues in the book of Philippians chapter 4, verses 5 through 9. Our God rules and reigns, and yielding to Him leads to an amazing life. What the world views as fantastic, the Christian sees as a normal life of joy and peace in Christ. We cannot just be spectator Christians, though. All of God's good gifts are waiting for us if we just put our trust in Him. We need to let His truth permeate our minds and become part of us in order to influence how we behave. The key to having control over our emotions is to meditate on the promises of God. If He can govern the heavens, He can govern our lives. Today on day two of this lesson, Pastor Jack tells us to set our minds on things above and not on this earth. We live in this world, but we're not to be of this world. Satan wants to destroy our thought process. But when our identity is in Christ, we have a renewed mind and eternal salvation. And now continuing his lesson called How to Have the Peace of God When, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
I'm going to specifically direct this towards women, but all of us of humanity are included on this. But you guys, you've read your Bible. Satan hates mankind, and Satan hates, there's no doubt, Satan hates men big time, okay? It's just, he knows the Bible. He knows that man was created first, that through man, or the Messiah would be a man. He just hates men. It's interesting that, and I don't know what, if there's any connection to this at all, but did you know miscarriages? When a woman miscarries a baby, did you know by far boys are miscarried much more than girls? It's harder for a boy to survive the first 9 months of conception. Isn't that interesting? Most infant mortality at post-birth are boys. And I don't know if that has any connection. I don't know. But as graphic as that is, Satan seems to have a special hatred for women, super special. He will prostitute women. He will deceive women. He's got a special thing. Notice that the Bible teaches that if a woman is not well taught in the Word of God, she seems to be under special satanic attack to be led away with silly sins and things that destroy her. Notice that women as mothers are the nurturers, and the nurturers create the next generation, most often in spiritual depth. Ladies and gentlemen, any church that I've ever heard of, by far more women serve in a church than men. You say, well, that's because men are out doing the jobs. It's interesting. I understand that, but it's not true. Most of the women who serve in a church have kids. It's a lot easier to go to a job than to take care of the kids. That's hard work. I tried that twice. I was homesick one time when Lisa was raising the two girls. I couldn't wait to get better to get back to work. That's hard work. You call a prayer meeting. Who shows up mostly? Women. Isn't it weird? Satan hates women. So in this world, Satan tries to get women to be like men. Think, why? Satan has communicated to women that they're always deficient, something's always wrong, they're never pretty enough, they're never built well enough, they're never smart enough. Have you noticed that in the world? Where do you think that comes from? It's the exact opposite of what Paul is teaching us regarding these thoughts that we meditate upon. Now look, I'm going to abuse you for a moment, but I'm going to trust that you're mature enough to handle this. I'm going to show you a video that's nearly 70 million views on the web. Now I want you to listen to the message. The words are not on the screen. You're going to have to listen carefully. If you listen to the words, there's a beautiful message to this. Here's my point. This is not a Christian video. This is not a Christian message. And yet, we who are Christians, if you listen to what they're saying, I want you to listen. Listen to what they're crying out for. They're crying out to be accepted. They're crying out to be loved, and their cry is not unjust. Their cry is just. I believe their cry literally is coming from the fact that having been created in the image of God, that should be enough. And you and I live in a culture that will not let that happen because Satan is operating in the kingdom of men. Jesus loves you inside and out. Listen, he went to the cross to die for our sins. He did not go to the cross to die for our looks, to die for our personalities. Christ came and died because our sins separated us from him. And here's the world at least waking up enough to cry out and say, there's got to be more to life than how we look. This is Hollywood. But down deep inside, no matter who you might be today, without Christ, your identity is lost and you're searching and you're looking. And so the story there in Kobe's song is, dress up, be a certain way, be what the world wants, look what the world wants you to look like, and be what the world wants you to be like. And then God comes along and says and announces in the Bible, don't be conformed to the image of this world. Think of that for a moment. The world is preaching, if you're listening, that message right there, the world is preaching. That there's something more than the braiding of hair or the putting on of apparel. And God says, that's the part that matters. You think about the power of that. Nearly 70 million views. Why? Because people are hurting and wanting to hear that message. I would say it's too bad that didn't come from the church. It's too bad that message isn't more. It's too bad we don't have 70 million views concerning the answer of what these young ladies are looking for. It'd be nice if we had 70 million people listen to Jeremiah 29, 11, and 12 that says, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray, and I will listen to you. See, the world says dress up so somebody will pay attention to you. I remember years ago, I don't remember who it was, but it was some crazy rock group way back when. And in the interview, I remember it was Rolling Stone magazine, whoever the rock group leader was, the guy confessed, and it was a famous statement, and maybe you know who I'm talking about. But the guy said, listen, all these people pay all this money, and they fill up the stadium to come and see us, and they think that we're gods, and that they need us. And the lead singer said, the truth is, we need them. We need them to come, not for the money, not for the ticket sales. We need their approval as a band, or else we're nothing. Jesus Christ came to set you free from that bondage. And he turns to us and he announces in his word, whatever's lovely, whatever's of great value. And we need to remember that God has created us in his image. Whatever is of a good report, the word good report here is things that you do not have to be ashamed of or embarrassed of. Think on those things. Meditate on those things that are of a good report. Things well spoken of. Things that have a good reputation. And then verse 8 goes on to tell us and to teach us that we're to run with the few. Ladies and gentlemen, church family, listen. If there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. These things are few and most valuable. Run with the few. Because that Greek word means virtue. It's an interesting word, by the way. It means of valor. It means few. It's also translated, I'm not kidding, it's translated manly or masculine. So what? I don't think he's talking about any sort of gender attributes here. He's talking about men and women of God exercising virtue, which is valor, and there's only a few. Excellence of nature, of quality, praiseworthy, things that are commendable, things to pass along to others. It's praiseworthy. You want to give this to your kids. You want to give what's praiseworthy to your grandchildren. It means what benefits, what is of the true meaning of the word welfare, not welfare from the government, welfare, that which will continue on. It will move onward well. Legacy, we would say, to run with the few. Jesus says to us, that broad is the path that leads to eternal destruction. And many people are on that road. But narrow is the way. Straight is that path. Few people are on the road that leads to eternal life. And of course, there's that word meditate. To meditate on these things. It's that word to ponder. Watch. The word means to take inventory of your thoughts. To sit and to ponder through. 1 Peter 4, verse 3. 1 Peter 4, 3 says, "For we have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles or unbelievers, when we walked in lewdness and lust and drunkenness and revelries, drinking parties and abominable idolatries. In regards to these, they think it's strange," notice, your old friends, right? "They think it's strange that you do not run with them in the same flood of dissipation, speaking evil of you now." You've had a complete change. You're meditating on different things now as a believer. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 10. You guys okay? Proverbs 1, verse 10 says, "My son," dad, listen, grandpa, listen. This is great words. This is Solomon speaking to his boy. "My son, if sinners entice you, don't consent." Do not consent. Oh, come on. Don't go. Boy, how many young people today could come up here and say, "Man, I wish I would have known that verse because I made the wrong decision." Boy, it's been many years ago, but we were in this building, so we had moved on over from the warehouse, but a young man, you read about it in the papers, a young man was at a party in this community. It was late. He had to get home. He didn't have a ride. He wound up finding out that there were three other guys that were going to be heading back to, I don't know, Yorba Linda or Anaheim, whatever. And he needed to get home. And he, a Christian kid, at a party he ought not to have been at, needed a ride home, gets in a car with three guys he doesn't know. And they had been drinking. Remember this? They had been drinking and doing drugs, but not this kid. They drove through the canyon, and there was an accident, and people were killed. This Christian boy was in the vehicle, not intoxicated, but it came down after the investigation that him being in the vehicle, somebody had to be held responsible that was alive, and that kid went to prison. Wrong place, wrong time, his choice. Easy for me to recount the story now. It may have been you and I would have done the same thing at that moment, except for one fact. Was the Holy Spirit saying, "Don't do it. Walk home. Sleep here, but don't go." Ladies and gentlemen, if I know God a little bit at all, that's what he was saying. Do not consent, Proverbs 1:10 goes on. Verse 11 says, "If they say, 'Come with us, let us lie in wait to shed blood. Let us lurk secretly for the innocent without cause.'" Don't go. The third and final thing we end here in verse 9. How to have the peace of God when I don't know what to do about me. Well, what do we do about that? Well, first of all, it's time to remember what we know. It's time to remember what we know. Verse 9, Paul says, "These things which you," four amazing statements, "learned." Wow. Paul says, okay, everybody, here's the deal. Hey, Philippians. And I'd love to be able to say right now, I mean, I kind of can say it, sort of. I don't want to sound arrogant or But I want to be able to say, if Paul said, hey, Philippians, you know what you learned from me, received and heard and saw in me? Do it. I want to be able to say that to you. Learned. What does that mean? To learn by many and or any way. To comprehend or to understand by exposure. These things which you saw exposed in my life and received. That word received means the things that I've been in association with, the things that I've assimilated into my life. Paul says, the things that I've brought into my life near to me. You guys all watched. You guys all saw. Do that. What an awesome, amazing leader Paul was. And the things that you heard. Hey, everybody, you know the things that you said an audience of when I was speaking to you guys? The things that you gave your ear to? The things that you listened with purpose? Remember the things you heard me say? I love this, by the way. It's not the stuff you read about me on the internet. Paul's all about truth. Paul is saying, you know the things you heard me say? Don't you love that? And then Paul says, remember this. Remember what you've learned. Remember what you received. Remember what you've heard. What do we do about ourselves? Remember what we saw. The word saw here is the word to consider, to watch with the intent to copy. We get the word mimic from this, to mimic. It's so cute. When you take your kids, your little kids or your grandkids, and you're walking at the beach or in the mud, and they're behind you, isn't it sweet? The first struggle they have is your stride. So you've got to, listen, if you're going to have them follow you in your footsteps, you got to take small steps. And then you look behind. And what are they doing? Their arms are out like this, and they're going, and their tongue's like this. You notice that? Isn't it great? Did you know kids will automatically do that? Did you know you've never had to tell your kid, hey, walk in my footsteps. Go to the beach. This is a test for you. Take your kids, find a kid, just take them. Go down to the beach and watch what the little one will do. They will automatically start walking in your footsteps. It's really cool. Where does this come from? It's from God. Paul is saying, mimic me. Mimic. And I'm going to submit to you today that kids do that automatically anyway. Listen. To mimic, this is old man Paul now. He's near his death. And as it were, he's teaching his kids, all the kids at Philippi. And so he's saying, I want you to mimic me. Say the things I say. Do the things I do. Think like I think. Speak like I speak. So you raise children up to say certain things and to not say certain things. And look, you need to remember what you've been told. Look at verse 9. He says, these things do. These things do. I love him. Paul is a stud. Paul, what do I do about this? I got this thing going on. We got troubles there. We got troubles at home. I got troubles at the job. And you know what Paul would say? Let me think about how I should counsel you right now. All the things that you've heard and seen in me, all the stuff you've read in your Bible, you know what he'd say? Do it. Ladies and gentlemen, church family, let's just strip all the junk away. Let's take all the makeup off. Just do it. Amen. But take it off. But remove it. There's no but. Do it. Determined to do it. Well, you don't know the situation. We all got that same whining answer. Obey him. Some situations may be more complicated than others. We understand that. God is all wise. You may be in a situation where, well, Pastor, I just don't see the answer so clearly in the Bible. Get counseling and listen, the answer is there. You may need to be walked to the answer. But if it's of God, it will be biblical. It will be reasonable. It will be, listen, of his nature. A moment ago, I read where it says women ought to be submissive to their husbands. That doesn't mean you go back home and be a punching bag. Well, the Bible says for you to submit, not to some demoniac lunatic. I'm serious. You don't subject your kids to violence. Read the whole Bible. God condemns no one to some plight of evil. Go with what you know and obey what he has said. And you look at the closing remarkable promise given to us. Look at the end of verse 9. And the God of peace will be with you. Boom. You can almost see stars and fireworks go off. Isn't that the goal? Simple answer, simple conclusion. God blesses obedience to his word. I'll leave you with this final verse. Man, is it powerful. 1 John 4:17. 1 John 4:17. Love has been perfected or made complete among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Isn't that amazing? You ever think about that? Because as he is, so are we in this world. People are supposed to mistake us for Jesus. Wow. Oh, Lord in heaven, how excellent is your name in all the earth. And Lord, I pray for this body of believers here in this first service of today's services. This is a church all into itself, just in this room right here, right now. The doors are opening up. And this clam-shaped building is going to infuse people, church, believers, mimickers of God, out. The doors are going to open. People are going to be distributed into the world that's around us, that is dying. And they're all dressed up. They look great. They look fantastic, but they're dying. They don't look like they're dying. They don't smell like they're dying. But the inside of them is shriveling up and away. And Heavenly Father, I pray, we all pray, Lord, as believers, that you'd baptize us afresh now in the power of your Holy Spirit. God, come upon us for this hour in which we live. And may we go forth today, Lord God, energized, so happily impressed with your possession of us, that, Lord, as we go about seeking, looking, open for every opportunity to infuse the gospel of God, the love of God, the righteousness of God, the cross of Christ, that, Lord, we would so sense your presence. And that even this day and from this moment on, we would recognize this is, I see, I sense the peace of God is with me. Heavenly Father, we absolutely adore you, God, and we can't wait to see you again. Until we do, may we be faithful to act like you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called How to Have the Peace of God When, Part 2C. Thanks for listening today. And now is the time to rest in what God has done, and his peace will be with you. Today was day 2 of this lesson. And don't forget, you can pick up any of these lessons you might have missed at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. How would you like to have Pastor Jack Hibbs at your fingertips 24 hours a day? Well, you kind of do, really, with the Real Life app for your smartphone or tablet. You can tap into everything that is Real Radio simply by getting the Real Life app for your smartphone or tablet. You'll get the Real Life TV broadcasts, the daily audio radio broadcasts, Pastor Jack's weekly devotions. Get the Real Life app for your smartphone or tablet. Just go to your app store and download the Real Life app for your smartphone or tablet. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.